Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No. Scripture says in Genesis 13, chapter 14, says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, he said, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Praise the Lord. Now he says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Now, when the scripture says, lift up your eyes, for the most part, it is giving a command to look beyond what is in your immediate vicinity. And now you see the church that has been, people come and gather in some place, people of almost virtually at the same level. So you find churches which have levels. So people of a certain, mostly income or social level, go to a certain church and they be there and they get a pastor who preaches something of their level, okay, which they understand and they can relate with. And even the brethren there speak things they can relate with. And so they be there and they surround themselves with themselves. You see it? And now the Lord says, lift up your eyes and see. Because you're not looking up, you're looking down. And now that really is something that so many people find a problem doing. Find yourself in a place where there is nothing that is around you that is good. But you lift up your eyes and see something great ahead. And you completely ignore the realities that are surrounding you. Now, people who have the ability to lift up their eyes and see things which appear to be so far away from where they are the people who are going to dominate in this time of the end. Because you see, the system of the world and everything in it is there to make sure that you look around you and everything you plan, everything is around you. Your friends, your art, you know, and all those things. In the world, they will tell you that, you should have friends who are, you know, higher than you and so on. Which, of course, doesn't really help because those friends don't, for the most part, don't help. Actually, sometimes they keep you down. But the point is, the scripture says, lift up your eyes and see. See what's ahead. See something that is not around you. And now that can seem like a very difficult instruction when the things surrounding you are calling for your immediate attention. And they are so strong in your face that it is so difficult for you to actually lift up your eyes and see. From the place where you stand, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you stand. So everyone, you're standing here, but when you lift up your eyes, you're seeing, if you can't have the ability to lift up your eyes, then you see things which are so far away. Apparently so far away, but actually so near. But you see those things, and now that is the beginning of the miracle. When you can actually ignore pressing things which surround you and which are calling for your immediate attention and actually lift up your eyes and look ahead. I remember some gentleman told me that he had a serious need of rent. And he had defaulted a bit and the landlord was on his case and he was really concerned and worried. So he went and prayed and had a very, very intense prayer and said, God, just give me rent. Then he went to sleep and he dreamt when there was a road, you know, those roads which they, you know, over those things, a long road, and there were beautiful houses either side and they all belonged to him and the road was even called after him. So imagine like you're struggling with rent. Then you see a wonderful road in a good neighborhood. And you see all the houses, and in the dream you know these are yours. And the street is even called Kableta Street or Kableta Close or whatever, you know those things they put. And then he woke up. And then he made a mistake. He did not understand how God works. That if actually you project to that, rent sorts itself out. You see, now he woke up and said, now I asked for rent, God is showing me things which are so far off. That's the point. That's the whole idea. Because if you don't want to spend all your life putting out fires, now this has come, then you put it out. Now this one has come, then you put it out. And actually, even your prayer life, if you have any, hopefully, no, is all about putting out fires. One problem has come, then you solve it. You pray about it, then so then another has come, pray about it, because another has come. Now, that's a very inferior way of living. The superior way is you ignore all those and actually lift up your eyes and see something ahead. And you'll see how everything in the immediate surrounding that is begging for your attention and making it look like if you don't sort it, you're going to die, just vanishes. And it just vanishes. Now, there is the problem. Now, you see those, so people go to a church, and what they teach them is about looking down. Everything is reality, you see. So they look down. They never actually lift up their eyes and see anything. They are looking down like this. There's this problem. There's this one. There's this one. And none of those problems is ever going to go away if you try to handle it like that. Imagine you're battling like that gentleman for rent. That's a recurring expenditure. So even if God solves it that time, next month you'll be back where? Praying for the same thing. And after that, praying for the same thing. Because it's a recurring expense. Now, he tries to show you, no. Project yourself. Look ahead. And now imagine if you have such a dream. And then you ignore the landlord. And say, if he throws me out of the house, let him throw me out. By the way, let me tell you, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. People have been thrown out of houses. But see, when the devil projects it to you, he makes it look like you're going to get ashamed, everybody's going to what? The whole world is going to know that they threw you out of the house. They are not going to know. You're not all that. Nobody is following your life. Amen? There's nobody who is there following your life. The point is, now imagine if he ignores all that and actually chooses to lift up his eyes and see what the Lord has shown him. And then he starts meditating on that. I guarantee you that in a very short while, he will not have any problems of rent. He will have exceeded the rent problem. And it all starts with him, within him. Because everything that projects itself as so big and so, you know, such an insurmountable mountain is actually keeping you back. Now, the people who are, let me tell you this, the people who actually are going to reign this life are those who learn that aspect of God. You are not, you just learn how he does his things. And following that, you're going to be the beneficiary. He's not going to change because of you. You're not going to cry him into changing his ways. So that you cry and cry and cry, then God says, I'm changing. He's not going to. So just learn that every time when something is calling for your attention. Now, I'll tell you this. It happens all the time in so many things where I feel overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the things you have to do? Some of them have been given to you by God. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do the other, I have to do the other. You know? And you wake up and you're kind of overwhelmed. And you say, where do I start? Where do I stop? Do I have enough time to accomplish all of them? This one is calling for your attention. The others are calling for your attention. You know what I do? I just lift up my eyes and look past all those things and forget about anybody who is trying to bring me in the now. I stand from where I am. Today I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. That's where I am. Now it says, lift up your eyes now from where you stand and look ahead. So now I look ahead. Now in all my aspirations, the immediate things don't, I make sure through a discipline that the immediate things don't take my attention. The things that are right in front of me. The minute I feel that there's this problem, I solve it. Then to report it, another problem, I solve it. Then you become a firefighter. You're always putting out fires. There's a fire here, you solve it. There's a fire here, you solve it. Then now you spend your life like that. And man, the devil loves that. Because you're going to be stationary. That is the prescription for stubbornness. You're always permanently putting out fires. Things which are always calling for your attention. Now, God says, lift up your eyes. Look beyond it. Now here there is something. But look at those wonderful dreams. And now let me tell you. Like it will come in a dream. Now like that gentleman. Now in your mind you think this is a very distant thing. But you told me that thing about 10 years ago. And he still doesn't have a what? Else. Now you think, you see how the devil deceives you. That one's going to take a while to materialize. You will spend that while and you'll still be where you are. Putting out a fire. Put out this fire. Put out this fire. Put out the other fire. Put out the other fire. Put out this. Now, you know where God has predicted you to be. You know what he wants you to be. You know what you are going to be. So now, immediate things. This one is like this, and this one is like that, and like that. And you're projecting ahead. And now you see, I'll be honest with you. Okay, it's not like the easiest thing in the world. But when you train your spirit to be like that, you actually become a champion. Okay? And you will never grumble in all your life. Because regardless of how bad the circumstances are here, you're not looking at them, you're looking for sets. And you never grumble. I remember waking up one day. I remember my first night in prison. When you realize that you're about 180 people, but you have to use 120. So even at 3 a.m., if you wake up to go, you'll find a line. Now, imagine you come from prosperity. You understand? And then you're there. Then mosquitoes, it's like all of them which are not here, go there. So now you have to, I used to sleep during the day because of mosquitoes. And generally because, anyway, my point is this. I may be still of that. I was seeing myself somewhere, in Entebbe somewhere. You understand? Like I refuse to let that thing swallow me in. I cannot let it swallow me in because what it wants is actually to rain in on you and rain in on you and then you become sad. Can you imagine? I have a home somewhere which is waiting for me and a nice bed and what? No. Me, I'm looking ahead and I just refuse to let anything that is in the immediate aftermath stop me from take my attention so much to the point that I'm not looking ahead. Now, of course, I can wake up somewhere and solve some issues, but my mind is somewhere. Now, I'm in New Zealand, but my mind is in Entebbe somewhere. People are waiting to see me. You understand? Hey. Now, when you are like that, there's nothing the devil can do. Because he tries to. The whole system of the world, I want you to listen, the whole system of the world actually wants to keep you where you are. This is your reality. Stay here. Don't be too ambitious. Don't think you're all that. Stay here. This is your reality. Now, the whole system of God, everything he does, is to show you what is ahead. And to show you that we are going to cooperate by me taking you where you're going. By you, first of all, accepting to look, lift up your eyes and look and see what is ahead. And then you refuse the reality around you if you don't like it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that is where the problem is. So then you have a church here, pastors, the pastor who preaches things for his level. Okay? Now, the people also at that level. And now you see they miss the whole point of listening to the word of God. Because the purpose of listening to the word of God is to make you actually aspire for things which are beyond you. That's the whole purpose. So if you listen to a word and it does not make you look at yourself as much bigger than what reality there is around you, then it's not the right word. It's supposed to, if I use the right word, to psych you into believing that this is just I'm just going through this. This is not where I belong. I am somewhere and I'm lifting up my eyes. But then the system of the world tells you, you know what? You're dying yourself. And it is a battle until you train your spirit to know that I'm not going to look here. Look here. Praise the Lord. So now that's why you find that the church, people go listen to a word every Sunday, perhaps every midweek, and doesn't really change them. It doesn't make them think bigger. Actually, it makes them think smaller. You know that there are people I know who went to churches when they were rich and were thinking big. They were going and, you know, buying things from Japan, where and what, and then they go into a Baroque church. Then they cut you down to size. And by the way, let me tell you, don't play with words. Don't joke with words. Because of the words of 10 people, 3 million people died in the desert. 10 people came and spoke, and 3 million people died in the wilderness who could have gone into the promised land. Don't play with words. Words which do not lift you up are putting you down. And now you see, because, first of all, perhaps even the man of God does not use the word of God to inspire himself to be bigger than what he actually is. So, he keeps himself at a certain level. So now his work is to make sure that he keeps everybody at that level, you know. So that is. So now they put, the words put people down. Nobody is aspiring for great things. Nobody is lifting up their eyes. All of them are looking around. This is our church. This is our way of doing things. Then you be in a church and they start giving testimonies. Like the one I had one day when I was in a certain church. Then I said, no, there is no way I'm going to be here. Come I ever see where? Amen. Come I ever see where? Amen. Amen. Come I ever. Amen. See, my old leader. Then he said, oh, my name, I told you, we came up as a good. We can't buy the name of Maratu, you are named Medicat. At weekend, we are to you are named Medicat. I sat down and he said, to the complete of this education, that your testimony was powerful. I said, I have no business in this place. You see, now you stay in a place, they will bring you down to their level properly. You think you are above them, but that is what you ask for why. After some time, they will cut you down to size. Because the purpose of what are supposed to make you feel big, inflate you. I have God. I can do everything. Big things. Now, there are some people who have managed to impress on big things. Big things. Big, really big things. International big things. And you see, they are ready. You just tell them something and they say yes. And the next thing they are talking those things, those international things. Now, then there are some people who you cannot, and now I'll tell you this, when somebody refuses to catch a vision, there is nothing you can do for them. There is nothing. Nothing. You can show somebody that you can do this, you can do that, you know. You even give them an example, you even give them the first, you know, the entire core. Go and start. But they will, if they don't catch it themselves, there's nothing you can do. And now that's when you realize how also God can be frustrated by us. Like how he was frustrated by the children of Israel. Where 10 people come and their word, these people receive their word with a lot of faith for negativity that they spend the whole night crying. Now why did the Lord bring us here? I should have died in the wilderness. And they cry. The scripture says, men at the doorstep of their tents cried all night because of the word of 10 people. And 3 million of them died in the wilderness. Now, he had to wait for another generation. He said, these ones, let them just die. Because they have refused to listen to them. They have seen, now you see, his frustration is, they saw what I did in Egypt. They saw me parting the Red Sea. They saw it with their eyes. And still they don't want to believe. Now what am I supposed to do for them to believe? Now you see, two people can choose to remain to be children. Ah, now God, I don't have this. Now God, I don't have this. And so on. And God is not going to treat you like a child sometimes. There was a guy who actually used to come here. He doesn't come any longer. Sometimes he does. He had 3 children at home. And it was school time. and he had no school fees. Then he was at Zoe and the prophet called him and just picked the names of the three children, just that, and walked out. The next day he had faith to get school fees and he got it. Now that is somebody who knows how to receive prophecy. Because if you're a child and you've chosen to be a child, you'll say, what does it benefit to tell me I have children called what and what? What does it benefit me? You're stupid. The whole purpose of everything is to lift your faith. The prophetic, everything is supposed, or even the teaching here, if the teaching here does not lift your faith, I have really wasted my time. I should have been somewhere doing something else. The purpose is to build your faith. And then you listen and say, no, but you know. So even miracles, which God does, is to lift people's faith. Miracles, prophetic, what? Just to build your faith. Now that gentleman, when his children are home and he's fighting for school fees, just by them picking the names, that was enough for him. He said, if God knows their names, then obviously they are going to get school fees. And he lifted his faith and the school fees came. Praise the Lord. Now everything is about building your faith. Your faith is about what you believe you can do, what you see yourself doing, how far you can look up from where you are. Because if you're sitting right there and you're standing there and you're looking there, like those people in some of those churches, then there's no faith. And then there's not going to be any benefit, any profit in the word. So it becomes a ritual. Every, you know, Sunday you come listen to the word, then finish, then you know. The word does not build faith. Because in any case, it is given by people sometimes who don't have faith themselves. And you can't give what you don't have. And people would not aspire for things which are bigger than them. But now, thank God, you know the things I aspire for. And you know I cannot achieve them by my might. You understand? Eh? So you know I have faith. And I have it. There is no doubt about it. Otherwise, I even have no right whatsoever to speak the things I do. So now, if the words I speak to you don't bathe in your faith, it is your problem, not mine. Because I have it in loads, by the way. Praise the Lord. Now, what place are you at that you are supposed to look up? Lift up your eyes. Go to Genesis chapter 31. Start from verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Praise the Lord. From what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Did he acquire it by them giving it to him? No, he did not. They were not going to give it to him. They made him work 14 years for wives. 14 years. And it says in the scripture they changed his wages 10 times, which is typically what capitalists should do. And then he also said that every time that an animal ate of the flock, it was required of me. Some of you know that. For instance, people work in the bank. If at the end of the day, there is a shortage, they are going to get it from you. Is that it? But if there is an overage, the bank is going to take it. That's how the system is. If for some reason, you count money and you get more money than you expecting, the bank takes it. But the day there is a shortage, they cut it off your what? You eat. And even this, whatever is sweet, this restaurant, they do it. Somebody takes the wrong order, they bring you, say, I did order for that. They change the order, but the person pays. They make that person pay. Now, how many orders for the person has done their salary? And they have no salary to take home. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but now if you're a good person like me, even when they bang my order, I tell them, you pack it, but get for me this one, which I have one I actually wanted. Then I tell them to pack it, I pay for it, and I can throw it on the way somewhere. Because I didn't want it. But you see, I don't, because you see somebody is working with a salary of 500,000, let's say, 600,000. If they make 10 mistakes, they have no salary. And then you never know what they are going through and what and so on. So, man, you just say, but you know, some people are so strict with their money. I told you I wanted this, but you got for me this. Then you can see the person being sad. The time I said that I saw somebody's phone has fallen completely. I'm sure she was saying now, another loss. I said, don't worry. This one, you pack it. I will also take it. But now bring me the other one. But this time, not make a mistake. So they praise the Lord. Now, that's how capitalists work. They don't make losses. This is what Laban did what to Jacob. Jacob said, you've changed my wages 10 times. Okay? Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. That's how they are. Then he says, every time that you don't have to, for every time that an animal ate of the flock, he required it of me. And yet he said, God has blessed the flock because of me. So a capitalist will take your blessing and they will be blessed because of you. But when there is any issue there, it's on you. Praise the Lord. So anyway, let's go to verse 1. So he says, now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Now, this is one of the instances in the Bible where there was a complete wealth transfer. And now we know there is going to be a wealth transfer. Amen? That is a matter of Bible prophecy, so it's going to happen. The question is whether you are going to partake of it. But since now you've learned how to lift up your eyes, you'll partake of it. Because that is the condition. Let's read forward and I tell you. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. By the way, there is no employer who gets sacked when he goes. There is none. Somehow, even if all the books are clean and everything, they will be angry. How can you prosper? You're supposed to be a servant. Anyway, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Go ahead. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Go ahead. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable towards me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. Go ahead. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow me to hurt him. Go ahead. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said thus, the strict shall be your wages, then all the flocks were strict. Now you see, Laban came and asked Jacob when he realized that Jacob had a blessing and told him that I realize the Lord has blessed me because of you. So he tells him that tell me what will your wages be. Jacob says, I don't want any wages. But let's agree. All the speckled and the strict animals, if they are born like that, they are mine. Those which are not are yours. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen a sheep with two colors. Have you ever seen a sheep with two colors? So when he said that, Laban said, thank you very much. He said, Laban actually said, oh, that it were so. But Jacob knew something which Laban did. Because Jacob thought that this man is foolish. He has put him tied himself in a tight corner. At least he should have taken the wages. But there is a reason why Jacob chose that. Because, he says, if he said that the speckled shall be yours, then all the flocks were both speckled. And if he said that the strict shall be your wages, then all the flocks were strict. Go ahead. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Now, I want you to know that. This is how wealth transfer works. But it is so difficult for people. And I see this a lot. For people to actually conceptualize that God can choose to get somebody who has worked so hard and just gets it and gives it. You almost feel as if it's unjust. As if you are more just than God. Praise the Lord. In my prayer, he says, you know, he has given some the work of gathering. Yet all my sins they are gathered. Praise the Lord. He has given them the work of what? Gathering. That after you finish the gathering, because some of you can't gather. So God says, let me get somebody to gather for you. Now, after he's finished gathering, God gets what he has gathered and he gives somebody who delights. And by the way, I'll tell you this. If you learn how to do what I'm telling you, and not think about how this will happen. Because you see, when you start asking the question how, you are appealing to your mind. And your mind has no savings. So I'm asking for money for rent. How am I going to have a whole street with my houses that belong to me and see them named after me? How? You've gone into the mind. God has not hidden. Like, your work is just to believe it and to conceive it and to let it happen. Praise the Lord. And that's why he gives it to you. Now he says, and God has taken away all the livestock of your father and given them to me. So this guy went there without a wife. He left with two wives of this man's daughters, all his livestock and everything, and left. So when Laban came to pursue him, that you've taken my, he says, what have I done to you? We agreed. And then even God gave Laban a dream and said, when you reach there, don't tell him anything, good or bad. Just cheer him. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Go ahead. Now, why did he say the strict? Then he said, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were strict, speckled, and gray-spotted. Now, how did he decide that he wanted animals which are that? He had seen it in a dream. So God showed him in a dream something. So when they came and asked him, what would you take? He says, I'll take the speckled. And now from the natural, that is so stupid. Because there are very few animals, sheep especially, which have two colors. So Laban said, okay. You said it yourself. He says, yeah. But he had seen it in a dream. He said, he saw in a dream, and there were mountains, and there were all the animals were this kind. So he used that dream to decide with Laban. Now he says, as I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which he picked upon the flocks were speckled and gray-spotted. Go ahead. Then the angel of God spoke to me in the dream and said, Jacob, I said, here I am. Then he said, what? Lift your eyes now and see. Where you are, you have nothing. They have cheated you, they have taken your wages, they are what? But lift up your eyes and see. And he lifted up his eyes in a dream and saw speckled all those things belonging to him. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the way you're going to get the wealth transfer. Now, if you cannot conceive it, the wealth is wisdom. If you can conceive it, it is not your business to make it come to pass. That is God's business, not yours. Praise the Lord. Now, he has given you the easier part. Just conceive it inside you and manufacture it inside your spirit. Then you keep quiet. You understand? Now, how it comes to pass is God's business. How am I going to have that street of houses? Don't worry. That is God's business. Yours is to. Now, can you actually take that challenge? Can you take that challenge which God? Like, okay, now I have issues here. Now I know. Then God says, no, there's this bigger thing. Then you take it up in your spirit. Because you see, the first thing you ask yourself, I don't have the money for it. But you see, Jacob did not ask, where am I going to get the money to buy those things? He saw it in a dream and he just said. And by the way, I'll tell you this, there are so very few times when God is starting dealing with somebody that he deals with money. The minute you start saying, I don't have money for this, you're losing God. I think he wants so much to show you that things can be done without money. Eventually money comes, but he wants so much to show you that things can be done without money. So somebody comes and does this, gives you a favor, come and be here, come and do this and that. And now you find the things for which you needed money have been sorted. But now if you lock your mind on money, you might miss the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this is how it happens. Now I've told you this so many times and I'm telling you to again. This message I've preached before in a different way. Amen? And I'll probably even preach it again, using a different scripture and a different word. Way. Because it is very important. You can't be there and there is nothing big beyond you. Like if it is something that you can accomplish with your, then it's not of God. You see, God wants the glory. He wants to do something where you yourself and the people of Israel know that this is God. I know Andrew Mack said that his mother told him, when she saw how big this ministry is across the world and what, his mother called him and told him, you know, Andrew, this is the Lord. I know you, you're so fake, you are not a home business. Okay, she did not use those words. But you know, she did not use those words. But she says, you're the one who is touching the whole world. So this is the Lord. Now, that's what the Lord wants. Where people say, then he himself says, that I am so unspectacular. True. Sometimes you look at him and like, you're like, but you see, he says that somebody told him that you are as plain as that. Like, you know, there's nothing, like, there's nothing that about you. Now, those are the people the Lord what wants to use. That everybody, even your mother, says that this one is not you. Because I know you very well. You cannot have accomplished this. Now, that's all. Now, if you give him the opportunity, the only thing that you can do is by actually frustrating him, by refusing to take up the vision, like that gentleman. He came and he said, that man, dreams can also be fake. I'm looking for it. God is showing me this. And now he gets angry, then he gets what? And then he misses out. And then God is always talking in the future. I've told you that. The whole book of Deuteronomy is telling you, the whole book, all 34 chapters, about one thing. When you go into the what? Promised land. He's telling them about what you do when you have big houses, what you planted vineyards. Yeah, but you are waiting for manna to come down and what? We eat. But you have to project ahead. Now, if you don't, you're going to you miss the Lord. And then he even keeps on reminding. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the whatever, seven nations greater and mightier than you. You see, even rubs it in and says they are greater than you. When the Lord has brought you there and given you all these things, now some of you would say, but why does the thing bring us there? Why is he stopping? You're talking too much. You want to go there already. Shut up. Like if you don't conceive it, you're not going to go there. You'll be like those who died in the wilderness. They refused to conceive. He kept on telling them the land flowing. They refused in their minds to actually paint a picture of what God was telling them. And by the way, we tell in the church here, there are people who don't have any idea what it means to paint a picture. And the purpose of what the scripture is to make you paint a picture. Praise the Lord. You paint it, you read the scripture and you paint a picture. Actually, the purpose of all words is to make you what? Paint a what? A picture. So if somebody tells you lion, you don't see L-I-O-N. You see an actual what? Because you, the word points you to a picture. So if somebody tells you Range Rover, there's a picture that comes in your mind. Now, that will stop for so many of you until you get, that will work for so many of you until you get to the scripture. And then God tells you things, and you don't read things that are blown away by them. You say, wow, this is the promise of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, somebody came and told me, you know, this I want, you know, I did this, I shouldn't have done it, and what? Then I told her, you know, all things work together for good, for those who love God and love. Yeah, I know that, but you see, I shouldn't. All things work together for good. When you know that, you will know that. Let me tell you, you see me here. There are mistakes I've made which would have taken me out completely, and I don't come back. But I can't go out because God is with me, you understand? And all the things, even when I make a mistake, it also works for my good. That is the blessing of Abraham, which is mine in Christ Jesus, according to Galatians 3:13. You know, Abraham goes and lies a about his wife. And God goes to the man who he lied to and tells him, you're a dead man if you don't restore that man's wife. The man says, but I did that in Rome. The man told me it's his sister. He says, yeah, that's why I forgive you. I'm not going to kill you. Can you imagine? After I'm like, it's not like. But because the Bible says he believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, he's righteous even when he lies. And you whom they lied, you're the one who God comes to. Why were you there to be lied? What were you doing there? Way matters are matters. Now, because you see when God declares him righteous, he's righteous. And God says, that man, restore his things because he's a prophet. And you know what happened? The man got animals and wealth and what? And gave them to Abraham with his wife. And said, I'm sorry I was available to be like. Okay, did you say that? But you know it. Now you see, all things work together for what? So Abraham eventually, because of Israel, also ended up becoming a rich. Praise the Lord. Anyway, now, so when the Lord God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, nations, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Go ahead. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Now, when I hear seven nations which are greater and mightier, there is something which goes through my mind. I'm not just reading words. I have to relate these things to my situation. You understand? You can read seven businesses. I'm entering this business and I'm going to be the number one. Seven businesses that are greater and mightier than I, but I'm going to conquer them. So now, if you don't put pictures to this and you just read, you don't have any faith. Okay, go ahead, verse 3. Then it says that, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. Verse 4. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Go ahead. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their cave images with fire. When I'm reading this, something is going through my mind, which relates to me today in 2024, going forward. Do you understand? I'm not just reading scriptures. There's something that I'm seeing. I'm actually building a picture. Nations which are mightier than what? Than I. Which God is going to drive out from what? From before me. But thus you shall deal with them. Occupy it. Verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. Now, when I'm reading this, he's talking about me. He's not talking about Israel. The Bible is not written there for Israel. It is the word of God, the God of everyone. Amen? So he says, when I read this, I hear I'm a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Go ahead. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you are the least of all peoples. Now he loves that. You are the smallest, you are fake, you are what? Like that Roman. But then he says that himself. You know, I totally respect you. I love him so much, that man. And I respect him. But you know, he says that himself. And to the glory of God. Okay, because you are the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Go ahead. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. Now, I don't know. When I read these things, they are so big. They are like, they really lift me up. Know that the Lord is God. Okay? He says, the faithful God who keeps a covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Go ahead. And repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Also, when I read that, I'm seeing certain things. Okay? Which I will not tell you what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing them. Go ahead, verse 11. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Go ahead. Then it shall come to pass, because you keep the judgment, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy. Go ahead, verse 13. Okay. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your wheat, with the land which he swore to give to your fathers. Now, you have to think that something about yourself. You have to make everything about yourself. Go ahead. You shall be blessed above all the peoples. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you, or among your livestock. Now, that has to be applicable to you. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Now, imagine a promise like that. Those who hate you, sickness. Now, some of you, these things are too grand for you to actually bring them into this life. You say, nah, Israel, we are blessed. Oh, you are blessed. More blessed than them. Because you are of the seed of Christ. Amen? Go ahead. Also, you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eye shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Go ahead. Now, he says, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Now, you see, that's the thing. Because everybody says that. And he says, if you will say in your heart, these people, now every one of us are facing giants who are mightier than I. Isn't it? And now, he says, if you will say in your heart that, how am I going to do this? How is this even possible? The people whom I'm trying to go against are obviously greater and mightier than I. Then he says, you shall not be afraid of them. But you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Okay? The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Praise the Lord. And they are there, people of whom you are afraid. And you have to relate that to yourself. Go ahead. This is, moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them, until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. Now, there are things which the scripture says. When Jacob was leaving Laban and was going back to Canaan, he was passing through lands of people who were hostile. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord fell on them, and they just see him and they can't do anything. They're hamstrung. You see it? Now, when you understand, like the arm of the Lord. You see the scripture I read? And all these things apply to me. It says that, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And nobody could stand before him. Now I just put my name there. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't do that thing, you'll see it in the Bible. You're reading storybooks. Glory to God. So the Lord preserved me wherever I went. True story. Glory to God. Now, he says, moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. Go ahead. So he says, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. You see that? Wherever he went here, he went there, he went there, the Lord preserved him, wherever he went. Now, the hand of God is with you as well, to preserve you wherever you go. And I wish you would know some of the things that can happen to you if the hand of God is not there. He says, you shall not be terrified of them. Go back to the previous verse of the hornet. The Lord will send hornets among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. Go ahead. You shall not be terrified of them. For the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Now, there is nothing you can make me scared of. When I read that, I say, the great and awesome God is with me. I can't be scared of anybody. I cannot be scared of anybody. You understand? Because if you're scared, don't be scared of him. Remember that the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Praise the Lord. Now, in times like that, when I feel overwhelmed, and I could sometimes feel overwhelmed, things which are calling for my immediate attention and what, I remember that I can't be terrified of anything. Because the Lord, my God, the great and awesome God, is among me. He's with me. Praise the Lord. Now, that can be words to you, or it can be reality. You can choose to lift up your eyes, or you can choose to look at where you are. You can choose to take on challenges. The reason people don't lift up their eyes is because there is a challenge involved. To believe for big things when there are small things around you. So you don't want to be challenged by the Spirit of God. And yet He actually wants to challenge you. Can you do this? Can you do this? And then you find the challenge. And you go and do it, and you don't move with Him. And by the time you're through with that, you realize that you've grown. And now it's much easier to believe for other things and for other things. Because now you've tested and seen. But the reason people don't do that is because there is no faith. There is no what? Faith. You see? The Bible can be what? Praise the Lord. Or it can be the Word of God. A friend of mine the other day was telling me, you know, some things about, you know, this, that. Somebody was killed and what? Jesus. Now you know you guys if you forget. I don't know, I can't die. I am unkillable. I'm unkillable. Totally unkillable, by the way. Let me tell you, I told you that Jesus said that even those sparrows which are sold, two sparrows for one copper coin, they can't be killed unless my Father in heaven says so. Then he said, how much more are you? Even the very hair of your head is now. But how do you think about killing? You'll wake up later. If you try too hard, you will die. It's my place. It is impossible. You can't kill me. Unless you go to the throne and ask God, are you through with this guy? Praise the Lord. And if he says yes, then maybe. But now you see, if you start fearing things like those, then you're scared. Then you see, my God's teaching is present, and this is a poison. What? You know my time that take a poison. Like, you determine, I'm going to believe what Jesus said, that even birds cannot die unless God says so. Then how much more me? And see, Jesus is saying, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Are not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Go ahead. What's the difference? But the very hair of your head are numbered. Praise the Lord. Amen? The very hair of your what? Head. For some people, of course, it is easier for God to go to what other than yours. So it is easier for God to watch it. The very hair of your head are numbered. So he says, you shall not be terrified of. Now, for me, when I read this, I sit down and cross my leg and ask for a cappuccino. You shall not be terrified of them, because the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Praise the Lord. Can you lift yourself up to actually believe words of God and see that if He tells you you are going to own something big, the wealth transfer and all that, you know the great and awesome God is with you. He's going to make it come to pass. Praise the Lord. You say, I am going to be a part of this world transfer. By the way, it is a matter of Bible prophecy. It has to come to pass. Amen? So now you say, I am going to be a partaker in this world transfer. I can't be left behind. So now, when the Lord shows me something which is apparently so big, that's a wonderful invitation. And he says, yeah, now let's move on. Now, of course, you'll say, now, man, here I have things here, which are calling for my attention, school fees, what. Man. Then you become like the rest of the judge, who do not know how to lift up their eyes. But if you come here and listen to me then once a month, and you can't lift up your eyes, then maybe next time you should consider going to other capital mistake. No, seriously. People fear challenges. People are so intimidated by what is in front of them that they don't want to actually believe that there are great things that lie ahead. And now when they don't believe, they stagnate. And then when they stagnate, they become frustrated. Then they start blaming everybody else. Praise the Lord. They start doing what? You know, somebody comes and tells me, you know, I'm in a tight place, you know, things are tight, what, you know. Now, there was a time people tell me that, and I feel moved, and I feel that I can solve the issue. Then I realized that's the worst thing you can do. Because when I was in that place, God was teaching me how to depend on you. So if you come and cry for me, things are tight, I'll open the scriptures and teach you about faith. Amen? They throw you out of the house, it is okay. You are still alive. You understand? Because let me tell you, people, I actually discovered I stand in the way of people's faith by feeling that somebody comes and says, okay, what? They are chasing me out, rate. How much is your rate? 300K? Yes, 300K. Then you what? Then you realize that God was trying to teach them something. Praise the Lord. And they were supposed to go through that. Because faith is built in local moments like that. When you have nothing else to stand on but what? The word of God. Now, the word did not profit them because it was not mixed in faith among those who had it. Now, if you do not let yourself believe these words, you end up actually stagnated like so many people are in. You listen to the word, 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 listen to the word. Nothing. And that is sad, sad, sad. Sad. When you always listen, never learning, but never ever do what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know people are like that, creatures. They know everything. There is nothing new you are going to tell them. They know it. They know where it is in the Bible. They will even teach you. Start saying, say, okay, so what the level of number is this? Then they teach you. And does not affect, it does not change their life at all. Sad stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when you learn how to see it, when you see the word of God, I imagine, what would it have been? You know, I read those stories, sometimes you read those stories and you say, what was it like for the children of Israel to walk in the midst of a wall of water here, and Moses standing behind the mist, and all of them are walking. But you see, when you've had in your heart, that does not stick with you for long. Now, that's how so many people are. Because the scripture says, when they saw the corpses of the Egyptians on the seashore, all of them bowed down and worshipped, because they had seen the salvation of God. But that lasted only 3 days. 3 days. When they didn't have water, they started telling Moses, you should have taken us back to Egypt. Now imagine somebody like that. You're going to die in the wilderness. Because God has done things. If you can't say that, the other day I was in a tight fix and God sorted me. Even the other day I was in a tight fix, God sorted me. I believe He's going to sort me even now. That is faith. Now, if you can't use previous experiences to believe for what is next, then you lost like the Lord. It's not going to be of any benefit to you. Imagine 3 days, it took them 3 days after seeing that the corpses of the Egyptians littered across the shores with their chariots and horses. And then they bowed down and worshipped until there was no water to drink. Then instead of asking and saying, you know, Lord, what? They grumble. And there are people who are, let me tell you something. Like, there's something I learned. And I will end with this. I will never grumble. Never. Never. There was, like, no grumble. My life has been full of enough testimonies for me to praise God even if he does nothing else. So when you start grumbling, you've chosen to die in the wilderness. And so many people die in the wilderness because of that. Praise the Lord. God does all those things to build your faith. So he said, remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Remember, he's not going to do it all the time. He's not going to go and destroy those nations in front of you without you fighting. By the way, the way the human mind works is when you give people things free of charge, they never appreciate them. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I learned it the hard way. When you help people, you help people here. Somebody comes, what? I have no rent. You can stay here. Then they wake up in the morning, eat your breakfast, and bash me the whole day. Until I wake up and say, okay, all of you go. All of you go. Go, I don't need you. Go. When somebody doesn't fight for something, they never appreciate it. That's why God says, I have given you, but now go and fight for it. So we're going to go. Deuteronomy, let's read this one first. Deuteronomy 2:24, the last one. It says, rise, take your journey and cross over the river Enon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Now, if you don't learn that, this is how the Lord does. I have given it to you, but now go and fight for it. Amen? If you don't fight for it, if you went and destroyed that king and just destroyed him, I sent an angel to destroy him, you will never appreciate it. You become big-headed. And then start, you know, demanding for other things. The way these people whom I just heard from here were doing, you know. Very ungrateful people. Very, very ungrateful people. People only appreciate something when they've worked for it. I know that for a fact. That's why you say, go and engage them in the battle. When you pull out your swords and go and take over that thing, you will appreciate what God has done. Now, this is the template. I have given it to you. Now go and fight for it. Praise the Lord. He has given you the wealth transfer. Now go and what? Hey, at least believe for it. Or fight for it. He has given me something, but I'm busy fighting. And there are some skirmishes. It's not easy. But he has given it to you. Amen? And by the way, he has given it to you. There are some things which I taste at the sea. Eh? Yeah, I proclaim something, then it is done the way I proclaim it. Then I say, hey, he has given it what? Yeah, but we are waiting for what? To get it what? In the battle. Yes. Huh? If I woke up one day and I had it, I would not appreciate it. I have to fight for it. Praise the Lord. After what? That's how, that is the mindset you have to have. Like, fight for it. Build it. That's when it is sweet. Build that business. Build it from scratch. That's when it will become sweet. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's enough for today. Now, somebody say, lift up your eyes. If you lead with that today, you will have done a lot. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody who have seen who is really low, almost to the point of depression. Now the hand of God here, the hand of God is touching you. And taking you out from that place that you find yourself in. but then you have to operate in the spirit of God. Don't let your flesh enjoy that bit of yourself. Who else is sick? We sick of anything that they would want to pray for. If you're sick, come on. Hey, somebody was my friend, sir. Like they are on and off, they are sick of all. Who is the person who has migrated and sleep deprivation, can't sleep? Okay, in the name of Jesus, all of you receive healing. Jesus, I rebuke you and sickness that recovers and permission. I rebuke those migrated in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke all pain in Jesus' name, and I command all pain to depart. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I speak a complete clearing of your throat and water, and receive it in the name of Jesus, receive it in your system. Okay, God bless you.
That was the Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.